afternoon. We're going to call to order the regular meeting of the Civil Service Commission for July 13th. And we have four commissioners here, plus Commander Schultz, plus a visitor, and John Green.
John Green.
And Kate Brown, of course. Linda McMacken is not here by a prearranged absence. And Will Petty, the city attorney, couldn't make it today.
Will Petty.
Well, that's a there's a slip, isn't that? A little historical artifact. For those of you who are new to the island, you can hear that story someday.
Until you've been on vacation for a while.
Exactly. all right, first item on the agenda is disclosures of conflicts of interest that may have arisen or other reports on communications among commissioners between meetings. Rob, should we start with you?
No conflicts of interest, just some brief conversations on the telephone with Bruce to just catch him up after he came back off vacation, and worked with Kate on several items over the last month or so, job analysis, questionnaire, things like that. That's it.
Okay. Steve?
No conflicts of interest. I did attend the oral interviews with Linda Tuesday for the first part of it, and then I came back for the second part of it in the afternoon. You can contact her if you can.
All right, I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that coming up here.
Yep, this is William, and I have no conflicts of interest, and I can't report any important between meeting communications. I feel like I should probably be having some, and I hope to have some in the future because I think there's a lot of benefit to, Bruce and I have never talked between meetings about, what's going on, and I haven't given him any feedback on the rules, directly, which I think I should do. So, anyway, no important between meeting communications for me.
Okay. This is Bruce, and I want to thank all the commissioners for hanging in there, taking care of business while I've been gone for the last 3.5 weeks, and we had a great time. Particularly thanks to Rob for chairing the meetings while I was gone. No conflicts of interest in terms of communications. I purposely did not talk to anybody while I was vacationing, but I did check back in with Rob when I got back, and I had a conversation with Kim Hendrickson about further work with her collaborative policing group, and she's keeping me up to speed on what they're doing, which is always interesting. And I guess that is all on that item. Let's move forward and approve minutes for June 22nd and June 29th. I believe Kate has already circulated those minutes to the commissioners.
Right.
Do the three of you have any additions or comments? I don't have anything to say because I wasn't at those meetings.
Okay. I reviewed them. They looked okay to me.
I do, too. I would make a motion to approve both sets of minutes. June 22nd.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Great.
Moving ahead. I don't know, Kate, whether you want to go first or whether we usually at our regular meetings try to have a report from both the secretary as well as from the chief of police. Yes. Public comment. And we have an item on the agenda. We always have public comment. Anyone who's visiting, we have one visitor here today. John, you're welcome to comment on items now, or you can participate in the conversation later down on the agenda, or you can just sit and listen if that's what you're here for. We're very informal at this event. So if you've got a comment you want to make up front on any subject that's relevant to the commission, you're welcome to.
No, I don't. I'll sit and listen if I have a question I'll answer.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Bruce, I have a non-public comment. This is just because I'm going to forget if I don't. But I was out here kind of waiting, filling about, and I was asked by the front desk here whether any of us had a temporary parking permit. Mm-hmm. So that's available, and maybe Kate can help me. Avoiding getting a ticket or something.
Yes.
Is that relevant after 4 o'clock?
No, I don't think it is. Sorry.
No, it's fine. technically, the parking enforcement officers, do work. I don't know whether or not he would actually ticket somebody between 4 and 5 o'clock. Do you have any thoughts on that?
it's a possibility whether that happens or not.
Yeah.
It might be a good idea to get.
But I think the point is if you go to the front desk, if you've driven here and you want to get a temporary parking pass, just hand them out the front desk.
Well, I'll I can probably just get them for you, and you can just keep them and just put it in your car every time. So instead of having to get one each time. Oh. I'll write that down.
I'm on my bike, so I'm just sharing information.
And I'm on foot, so I don't need one. So there's only three others who might benefit from that.
Okay.
I need one on Tuesday.
Okay. I'll get them for you.
Normally, I'm at 4 o'clock on Fridays.
Yeah. Okay. William, thank you for bringing that up.
Yep.
All right. Moving on. As I always say, we... regular meetings, we try to have a report both by the chief as well as by the secretary. The chief is still out ill, and we now have an interim stand-in public safety officer. He lives in Olympia, and we were hoping to have him come introduce himself and introduce ourselves, and he couldn't make it today, but hopefully he'll be here next meeting, I think was the goal. Mm-hmm. But we do have Commander Schultz here, so I don't know. We neglected to put that on the agenda, so we can... informally, if you all consent to add that back onto the agenda. And either of you can go first, however you want to do it.
Would you like to go first? Any updates?
If you have
any.
Sure. I'll just start off saying that I've talked to the interim public safety director, Larry Dickerson, who has got on board this past Monday. We're doing exciting stuff in the department, and it's going to be really healthy for us to move forward in this manner, so I personally am looking forward to that. He's unable to attend today's meeting, however, he does plan on attending future meetings and will be available. He's looking forward to meeting all of you, both as a group and maybe some of you individually if you so wish. As far as an update goes for our officers, this last Wednesday, I was saying, Amy LeClaire was sworn in as a commissioned officer for Bainbridge Island Police Department. She is on board and just running with it, and she's doing a great job. I'm not sure whether I reported to this board earlier, but both Gary Kuhn and Elizabeth Miller are in CJTC. They're both doing extremely well. Mr. Kuhn has been selected as the class president, so that's quite an honor. So we picked up some very good entry-level officers. And other than that, everyone is in the position they were in last week.
Mm-hmm. And just to remind me, we recently had Officer Christopher retired, right?
Correct. Officer Richard Christopher retired and is now employed with the Suquamish Police Department as a tribal officer. We are actually celebrating his retirement on this coming Monday at noon at the police department.
So that currently is the one vacancy that we have.
Right.
Okay. Great.
In the officers, and then of course we do still have that vacant parking enforcement officer, but we're not looking to fill it at this time.
Right, and is the concept that's simply the need is being evaluated at this point, given the changes in Winslow Way and things like that?
Yes, as part of the budget. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
I just have one question for the commander. I was approached last month or two by Kim Hendrickson. She had some questions regarding the difference between officers' certifications and commissions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could just, for public comment, let us know and the public know what the difference between a certification is as far as training requirements and so forth and then the actual commission, just for clarification.
Okay, that's kind of a convoluted question. Certification occurred back in 1999-2000. CJTC sent letters out to Washington State Police Departments and Sheriff's Departments and said, we need a list of all your officers that have gone through the academy. We're going to certify them. So departments sent their list of all the people that had gone through the CJTC and were working as full-time police officers to have them placed on a certified list. So then the departments received certificates for all the officers saying that they are now certified, blessed. The commission, a commissioned officer, is someone that has gone through either the Reserve Academy or CJTC's academy, has done both and has basically been commissioned to perform the duties of a police officer. They become, the certification at this time happens at the same time that they become commissioned. If that answers your question.
It does. She had raised the question with me, and I wanted to defer it to the department or to the state level on, is there any occasion when an officer would be certified but not commissioned or commissioned and not certified in today's rules or situation?
Commissioned and not certified, yes.
Just by the time they came aboard, or?
If you're talking about a full-time officer, no. We'll use Ms. LeClaire as an example. She is a commissioned officer because she's gone through the academy. She has not been certified yet because she has not gone through CJTC's equivalency academy. So in that example, then yes, we would have that.
And by department rules, is there patrolling or training requirements that account for those? If they are commissioned but not yet certified, do they continue to ride with a certified and commissioned officer through an FTO program until they are both certified and commissioned before they can patrol by themselves, per se?
She has, I believe it's 6 months to be certified at CJTC because she has to go through that equivalency academy. But no, once she's done with the FTO program, she could realistically drive on her own or be put out solo. But she would be certified until she gets through the CJTC. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions with that?
Yep. Interesting information. Any other questions for the commander?
Thanks.
Okay, great. Kate, you want to proceed with the secretary's report? You've got
sure.
Some things to tell us?
I do. Most of it is going to be about the interviews. I think all of it is about the interviews. So should I talk about it now? You see, we've got number 7, post-interview report and feedback. I expect Steve will have comments as well. So should we separate them or should we talk about it all? I can't think of anything else.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you've got nothing, why don't we put all that in there, number 7?
The only other thing I had is
that's right.
Redraft of the cover letter on
yes.
the job analysis. I thought we could talk about that.
Okay, great. So at the last special meet, no, the second to last special, no, wait. June 22nd special meeting,
mm-hmm.
We reviewed a draft cover memo that will go with the job analysis questionnaire for the police officers, mm-hmm. and the commission had some comments and wanted some changes made. So I worked, I think I captured the changes that were requested in the meeting, and then I sent it to Rob for him to further edit. That's where we're at.
And that's kind of what I was able to finish off today, and I'll circulate this, and this includes Kate's redraft as well as my few edits there. So if anybody wants to see the line item by line item, and essentially what we had was the nice intro, but then we had a job description can be useful for a variety of purposes, including but not limited to, and a long laundry list of bullet items that it could be used for, but I don't believe the commission is in the business of using it for those specific things. But our main reason, our main focus of doing this procedure is to try to get more information about the things that an officer does in a typical day-to-day and trying to identify those specialized knowledge, skills, and abilities that make a successful police officer on the island and just trying to get their candid inputs being highly valued by the commission. So this is what I've got it down to after those line item inputs, and I just wanted everybody to review it, see what they thought about it, and then I thought the chair, Bruce, ought to sign it on behalf of the commission, and also we circulate it through Larry Dickerson just so he's not blindsided by suddenly why are we asking his officers all these questions all of a sudden. So I thought we could push this off a little bit and wait, let him review the questionnaire and this cover letter and get his input if necessary. You know, we've received, I believe, the chief's and your inputs and the guild's input on this, but if we have anything else from him, from his standpoint, I just thought it'd be a good courtesy so we don't blindside him while we're having his officers do this big survey.
Okay. Just to back up for the record here, just to remind everyone of the context, this is the cover letter that will go with an interview with a questionnaire that goes to go to all the officers, and the intent of that is to gather information to help in the process of reanalyzing the civil service description, job descriptions. And this is probably a multi-month process that that hasn't been done for a good 5 or so years, and it's important for us to kind of fine-tune what it is we as a community want in our offices.
Yes.
I totally agree that it'd be great to have Larry Dickerson, give him a chance to look at this. He's probably got 100 things on his desk, but we might as well give him the option and let him know that we're trying to keep to a pretty tight schedule so it doesn't slow us down too much. But I think that if he's got input, we should welcome it, I assume. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, just to let you know, I did speak with him about this process that the commission is looking at, and he was supportive.
Okay. Can we just take a minute to read this letter and then we can just chime in with any last comments now so we don't delay the process anymore? Is everyone okay with that?
If anybody wants to look at the line item, what it was to what it's become, got that marked up here too.
Were we going to CC the guild to this?
Yeah, we could add them officially down there. Of course, you know, that would fall under the lieutenant. The president is a lieutenant, but I see what you're saying is to officially.
I think you need it specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, there's a capital T there.
Oh, thank you. The commission, that one?
Yes. Yeah. Much improved.
I like it.
Has the guild reviewed all this and made an agreement with the government?
The questionnaire? The questions themselves?
No, just with the questions as well as this letter.
I have not met with them, no.
Some of the immediate thing before it goes on.
If you would like me to, I will. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, I think so. They don't get surprised with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they know about this whole process, though.
I think they do, yes, because they commented
on the question.
Right, at a previous meeting. But, I mean, it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think reaching out is always, symbolically
mm-hmm.
or actually, it always is valuable. So, okay. Anybody have any further comments or questions about this cover letter, or does this format look good to you?
I think it looks great, Rob. Kate, thanks for really getting to the essence of what this is about and all getting rid of some of that superfluous stuff that's in the earlier letter. Remind me, though, when the 2005 police officer job description was prepared, who generated that? Did that originate from the Civil Service Commission in the same manner?
I don't know if the job analysis was done, but I believe the commission did create the job description. I could be wrong, but I think it's in the same format, the same template as all the other commissions, all the other job descriptions that you are responsible for. So.
It was 2005 the same time the citywide one was done?
No, that was in 2007.
So do you want me to sign this and you'll use that as an original, or do you want to come back?
I'll change the date.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'll
all right, so you'll...
Yeah, maybe I'll email it to you or something.
Okay, great. I'll bring it over whenever you need it.
I'll send you that on
okay.
my job.
Great.
And then you can just add it there.
All right.
Okay. Are we largely on schedule in terms of that process that you laid out, or how far off are we?
Well, it depends. No. I mean, we're off, but hopefully we can catch up.
Yeah. I mean, we all acknowledge that our number one task is try to fill the eligibility list so
mm-hmm.
that takes precedent. But yeah, we'd like to try to not lose too much time.
Right. And I, for some reason, did not bring the calendar with me, so I apologize. But I will plug that in
okay. And
send it around to everybody.
Okay. Any other miscellaneous items besides the interview issues?
No, not that I can think of.
Okay. Great. Number 6 on our agenda, review and approve eligible registers. We now get to the formal substance of our purpose on the face of the earth.
Do you want to? Should we talk about the process first? Can you talk about any, or do you want to look at these first? I guess it doesn't really matter.
I think we talk about the process probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be nice.
All right. We'll
okay.
lead
into
we'll
it.
Push those
yeah.
around. Go ahead. How'd it go?
Good, I think.
Yeah, I think the result was good.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a total of 3 more
right.
candidates.
Right. Mm-hmm.
2. Open and one driver.
Right.
The video was interesting. in that the first hiccup was the sound didn't work. And Katie got that fixed with some technical advice.
From Sergeant Leeming and Paul Zell. Thank you again.
And then we had two video interviews, not just the one, we had a lateral as well as the intro. And interestingly, whether that video had an adverse effect, you know, by not being there physically versus the video, both candidates came in number one in that respect.
Two highest candidates for the video candidate.
Yeah.
Interesting. And just one second, for context, again, for the record, we're talking about the oral panel reviews that we had on July
10th.
Excuse me. Okay, so
we had seven interviews scheduled. One person canceled that morning, so we actually ended up doing five entry-level interviews and one lateral.
Yeah, and I think the result was good. some of the problems... one candidate didn't show up. Two candidates. But one candidate gave you a 20 minutes notice.
Yeah, just
one of our oral members didn't show up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
One of the panelists.
Right.
Yeah, our panel members. Which I guess they checked with Rob and he's okay with. We didn't need to have four or two, but we had one. The problem, as I see it, was not enough candidates. And we only added two more to the entry level and one more to the lateral. We're probably going to have to go out and have more interviews. Linda had some problems, and she wasn't here. She asked me to bring it up to you. She thought because the candidates didn't show up, we had to require all of the candidates to show up at 8:30 in the morning, stay there all day, and we'll tell them when their time and have them come in. Linda wasn't able to get the reaction of our two police experts. Didn't like that at all. this idea of commingling all the candidates probably not to them. And Linda didn't get to hear that.
Yeah.
She gave an email just this afternoon and wanted to, I think, as I told Linda, both internal and the outside police officer or board members didn't like it. I think she wanted them to appear before the commissioner. I'm not sure that's needed, but that's where she was coming from.
Is her thought that would diminish people from being no-shows?
Yeah, or at least her point was that Paulco had a sergeant there who was on the panel. We had our own person, and we paid for our person, and also paid for her. And you got Kate here as a paid employee.
Yeah.
And here we have people not showing up. And Lynn just thought that they had to be there, and then we'll call them, not them on standby.
One no-show call the day before or something?
No, he called that morning and just said he actually decided he wanted to look for an agency closer to home.
And the other one just didn't show, period?
No, it was just one person that just didn't.
Oh, we had one no-show.
Yeah.
Okay, one candidate.
But this conversation with the three of us came up where I felt bad because then we had this sort of hour and 15 minutes to kill.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like a long period of time of waiting. And so I felt like we were, wasting the board members' time. And the comment I think Linda made is that their time is more important than the applicant's. But in speaking with the two police officers, the sergeant and the officer from Bainbridge, they made the suggestion of just having them closer together, so not every hour on the hour,
yeah.
but sort of like every 45 minutes or even half an hour. And then if you get behind schedule, you get behind schedule.
Mm-hmm. Treat it more like a dentist's office.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
And that leads you to be able to put more people on the list.
Right.
So that if two don't show, you
yeah.
still have eight there.
Right.
And if some have to wait a half hour before their turn comes up, it's
yeah.
not the worst thing in the world.
Right.
I think we need to be a little bit more, push a little harder to get more fat bang for our buck, and
mm-hmm.
I think that would be a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think backing them up to 45 minutes and then maybe reconfirming with all of the candidates and the board members on, say, Friday. If we're interviewing Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
everybody gets a call on Friday. Are you coming?
Yeah.
You're holding your feet to the fire on
yeah.
this one. And then stacking the interviews
mm-hmm.
up a little closer together, I think that works.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea, too.
The other thing, Linda, and I think, I'm not sure you got a copy of this, she was suggesting that we have a pass-fail board, and I did not discuss that with her, and I'm
no.
not too sure that's legal, number one, whether you, I'm not sure what that would do.
Yeah.
The entire list would be eligible,
mm-hmm.
But you'd have no ranking.
That would be, I think, problematic.
Yeah, I don't... I just
so
was she
expressing some concern that the scaling was not objective or something? Or
she said since the candidates are going to be further interviewed, how about a single simple pass or fail on the orals?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the orals will give the department some feel for how the candidates competed.
Yeah.
But that was. Something new. I'm not too sure you want to do that. I just
well, out of deference to Linda, we're going to revisit this
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
we
before the next one.
Comments.
Yeah.
We're going to
well,
set another one.
Yeah, yeah. We revisit these issues every time we get ready.
Yeah, and we're going to
yeah.
do this again pretty darn
yeah.
soon. I think.
Yeah. I think the video, as much as you know, we had a problem with the sound. I think it was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we had to use it in the future.
Well, and if we're feeling that we're not getting enough candidates, offering the video is the way to throw a wider net.
Yeah.
I mean, makes sense to me.
I have a couple things I wrote down. For video next time, we'll probably use some external speakers just to boost the sound a little bit. I was told the sound was fine, but I think it might help just a little bit. And then I will probably test the connection with the applicants beforehand, not the day of, you know, but a couple days before, because the first one had a, because we just don't know what their connection speed is like on their end. So the first one, it was a crystal clear connection. The second one was a little choppy. We had to call them back, and it wasn't ideal. But, you know, we might be able to do some troubleshooting ahead of time if that was the case. And the other thing, just to keep in mind, if we do decide to do videos or offer that ability with laterals, if we want to try to attract more laterals, then you may want to consider removing the requirement of the written test. A lot of agencies don't require a written test for laterals, assuming that, you know, if they're already a police officer, then they've taken that test at some point to become a police officer. But that might encourage more applicants from wherever, and in which case, if they are out of state, then they could just, all you would do is get their application and then interview them.
Do you really think there are people who are looking for jobs in Washington or Bainbridge Island and think, oh, I don't want to take a test? I mean, is that really a barrier?
It is, and also the issue with out of state is they have to find a location near them.
Oh.
You have to go through public safety, you have to direct them to, like, a university or something.
Commander was not,
yes.
Yes, you think it is, yeah.
Because I can tell you that you have police officers out there that are considering leaving another agency, and they're looking for places to go, and if they're in a safe position, if they're a good employee for that agency, if they want to step out and look at another agency, they may not want to dole out the money to take a test for something that may or may not happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really that expensive, but especially with out of state, it's just logistically, it's another step for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something I just throw out there if we want to continue with the video, because that would be so easy. They basically send me their application, we could set up the interviews right away. And a lot of agencies do that. They just want to snap them up.
Well, how do the other commissioners feel about waiving the PST test for laterals.
A couple questions. The PST test that they do take,
mm-hmm.
it's not Washington law specific. It's general knowledge and skills of police work that would be applicable not just to police officers in Washington, but across the nation.
I don't want to answer that question because I've never taken the test, but it's my understanding that it's not state law specific.
I would just like some clarification because
yes.
I can think for Washington certified officers,
mm-hmm.
I could consider that being waived, but if while the laws and the codes are relatively in parallel state to state, there may be some concerns of automatically accepting a Florida state certified officer to come work in Washington
mm-hmm.
if the laws are drastically different or the requirements to become an officer in another state are drastically different.
Right.
Well,
one thing I will just mention is I believe as late as 2007 we were accepting laterals without the test. So public safety testing I know works in Idaho, Oregon, and Alaska. So I'll find out if they have state-specific tests that they administer.
And then my other thought is I would consider it, but I would almost want to put a time in service requirement. That I wouldn't want a 6, 9 month, maybe 12 month officer that is new to another department to suddenly decide, oh, let's go work for Bainbridge Island, and they're not really a seasoned officer or a lateral officer that's moving department to department. But if we decide at least 2 years of service or at least 3 years of service, I could consider that to be waived. But if it's a young rookie officer that is newly certified and still hasn't acquired all of the knowledge and skills and wisdom of being a police officer, that we may still want to require that test.
And I believe, isn't it the state, the CJCC requires 24 months. So I think that we follow that same definition for laterals. So.
I mean, I guess it really comes down to what, and I have to admit that I've never read the PST test. It comes down to what is the test really testing for? Is it something that...
Yeah, he told me a while ago. I can't remember.
Is it something that for some reason we don't care about having a lateral, that we don't need laterals to test? I can understand how lowering the barrier would increase the number of
mm-hmm.
recruits, but the substantive question is what does the test bring to the table
mm-hmm.
for us in terms of information? And I don't know the answer to that.
It brings the score. Really, that's it. I mean, because we don't know how they do on the test in terms of what they answer right or wrong.
And from an entry-level standpoint, just comparing that, we essentially rank order them by that score level to invite them to the oral board. So
right.
for our last, you know, we pick the top mm-hmm. 7 scorers off that written test to be the ones that we first interview. In the lateral, we just have so few of them, but in the future, we may have multiple candidates that we have to choose from that we may want to even offer an interview based on that initial screen.
Well, in theory, then, if people who as entry levels were rejected because they have lower scores, we could be interviewing laterals who would be terrible on the test. I mean, you just don't know.
Mm-hmm. And I guess if you wanted to remove the written test, you know, for a period of time, and then all of a sudden if you're being, you know, deluged by lateral applicants, you could put that back.
Well, how do people want to approach this question? Is this something we can make an ad hoc decision now and just move forward, or do we feel we need more study? Do we want to look more at the PST test itself before we decide that it doesn't apply to laterals? I mean, it's one thing to make a strategic decision, I'm going to do this so I can get more bodies. It's another thing to make a substantive decision that it's not necessary to test laterals in the same way as it is to test entry levels.
Could you reach out to your other department
mm-hmm.
PST network that you have? I know you were saying that Mercer Island doesn't require this, and see if they actually saw, when they decided not to require laterals to test, they saw a dramatic increase in applicants
okay.
after they decided to drop that. They have that historical data that we required it up to 2008, we only got 1 or 2 laterals at the time, we dropped it, and suddenly we had 5.
Mm-hmm.
That might quantify it a little
yeah.
bit for us.
Sure, and I'll find out about the test, too, if it's state-specific.
Yeah, and if it's not state-specific, what do the questions go to, and is there a reason for us to conclude that they're not as relevant to laterals?
I think they would only be less relevant if you assume that they've already taken a test like that. And so if they've already passed that test and become a police officer, then is there a need to take it again?
I see what you're saying.
The other thing we could consider, this could also be a discussion when it goes into funding or recruiting efforts, that if the monetary amount is a roadblock, we could ask City Council, hey, if we end up hiring one of these guys, or girls, sorry, then we reimburse them for the cost of that exam as part of their signing bonus or something. That they're already throwing around numbers as a recruiting bonus for a new officer comes on board, and we provide her with a $5,000 signing bonus. Well, if we can't get to $5,000, maybe we can at least pay for the price of the exam
that
they take if we end up hiring them.
Right, right. Okay.
So I'll come back at the next meeting then. With
yeah, let's
sure.
put that on an agenda item for
sure.
further conversation.
Okay.
We can do that.
I just have a couple
ahead.
More
yeah,
things.
Yeah, keep going.
Just about the interview panel, the board members. We talked a little bit, and I felt bad for the panelists again because they all were early, of course, and so we did a little thumb twiddling for a while. But and the police officer panelists had done this before. You know, they've obviously been in themselves when they were an applicant, but especially Sergeant Propulso, who has been in dozens. He's, you know, so very experienced. So it was kind of like preaching to the choir, talking about this is what we do and this is what you don't ask. But we talked about it a little bit afterwards that it might help for me to have a phone call with each of them beforehand and try to do sort of a basic overview by phone, and then to have them arrive sort of 20 minutes before the first interview, 25 minutes or whatever, and just do a quick run through. But I could send them information ahead of time in terms of, you know, these are the types of questions that, you know, you should not ask, or, you know, just very general information and sort of do's and don'ts, I guess. And that would, I think, especially be beneficial for the citizens who are on the panel. Just a way of saving a little bit of time, too. With the applicants, I told them to either send me their application beforehand or bring it with them on the day. And only one person brought it on the day. It was fine, but it was just a little tight timing-wise, so in the future I'll ask them to send those back to me ahead of time. The other thing is I only asked them to do an application, and only a couple of them did a resume. I didn't ask for a cover letter, so we didn't get any cover letters, naturally. And so there was a general consensus that a cover letter or and a resume should either be required, or I should at least say that they're optional, and then if people are smart, they will do one.
Even recommended.
Yes,
yeah.
Recommended, yeah. So I will do that next time. And then scheduling, like I said, every 45 minutes, and then confirming with the applicant 48 hours in advance. That's pretty much it, but otherwise it went very well.
So this
one other item, I guess it came from the public member who on these questions, he thought we needed some type of question to break the ice, mm-hmm. like what's your favorite cartoon character as a kid? and I think you guys eliminated the latest book you read of that. But I thought the panel members sort of liked that,
mm-hmm.
To ask that type of question just to get the thing started. I think Linda favors that too.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I mean, I understand the reason for that. Sort of put the person at ease, kind of, you know, make them think outside the box a little bit, but I'm not sure if that goes with what you discussed previously.
Did you find that the soft opening question of leaving it up to them to describe why they're here, was that valuable? And
yes. All the questions were fantastic, I felt.
When we all the revised questions.
Mm-hmm. And the scoring sheets were good. The hypothetical question, the officers both agreed that that was excellent because it happens all the time. And we got different answers from everybody. So they were very good questions.
That's, you guys have held the good news for last night.
Yeah.
that's
great.
Really great.
Sorry.
That's the gut.
Sorry about
the whole thing.
That was one of my key questions or concerns, is if you were able to differentiate the candidates by the answers in those questions, could elicit different responses.
Definitely. And, you know, I was not a participating panel member. Steve and I, you know, Linda were there just observing. But I was referring to them, and I was looking for the key traits, you know, when people would mention those words or, you know, remind me of those words. So I think it was very useful.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because I didn't keep score either.
Mm-hmm.
But the panel came up with exactly what I would have had a score.
Is that right?
I'm sorry I didn't send you the scores.
Just being
okay.
Observed.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Did the candidates on this side of the table, did they have those key traits list, or
no.
Did we just asked them that question, they did their written, and then they came in, it was a cold walk.
That's right, yeah. Okay. I didn't do that, and what I think I will do next time is send it out to them so they can review it before
those
they just get here. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, send out the
not the questions, but remember the one sheet that had our key traits.
Oh, the 150.
Not all of them, just those ones that we identified,
yeah.
And the nine key.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That we had specifically defined and we were looking for.
Yeah.
So, and my general question is, all the things that we tweaked from the last time around, you're saying went pretty well.
Yes.
I mean, the writing sample went okay,
mm-hmm.
And the introduction in terms of leading everybody into the process went
yes.
Okay.
And Officer Kane did an excellent job of, he was the, you know, the chair of the board. He did a really good job of putting the people at ease and just very smooth process all around. So
yeah.
I appreciate
him. That's my reaction to the cartoon character question is, it's really somebody's got to be the chair, and that person's got to humanize the process a little bit rather than something kind of artificial. And, you know, you can even say, we hope you feel relaxed, this is a friendly forum,
yeah.
We're not here to make you feel uncomfortable.
And you never know whether the cartoon question is going to make someone comfortable. Or
yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm going to think, oh, my God, this is it. I'm a Warner Brothers guy, and they're looking for Disney guys, you know.
Yeah, I sort of like the officer, Steve's approach. There's no right answer.
Yeah.
That's good. Relax. If you get on the course, you make it. You're going to have to work with me. Make sure that you're going to be a good officer. And sort of relaxed.
Yeah, it was good. He just reminded them that he'd been on that side of the table before, and that, you know, he was looking for the real John Doe or whatever. You know, don't tell me what you think I want to hear. Tell me what, you know. So it was good.
Well, and maybe that's something that could be, you know, part of the protocol.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we don't have someone as sort of subtle as Steve, you know, maybe you could help with the panel with that kind of introduction in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I would just add that I think particularly when we're evaluating officer candidates, that you do want to place them in somewhat of a stressful situation when you're interviewing them, because that's one of the reasons that you're evaluating them on how he or she reacts under pressure. So that interview should be very formalized, and while you want them to be candid and open and somewhat at ease, or at least have that open appearance, there should be a notion of pressure on whether or not they can respond to questions or activities under stress.
Yeah.
If I don't think you need to create artificial stress,
no.
Because they either going to answer the question well or not. And if they get so relaxed that they just stop answering the question well, they missed the cues completely.
They did a good job with the follow-up questions also, and that's where I saw more pressure, because sometimes the applicant would be talking, and especially the two police officers would interrupt them with a follow-up or sort of, you know, take them back a different direction. I want to stop you there, you know, tell me about more about this. So that was good, I thought, good pressure, because it wasn't like, okay, next I'm going to ask a question, you know that's coming. It was sort of curveball.
So was the timing right in terms of did you use up all the time for each candidate? Or?
It was exactly like we thought, 30 to 40 minutes. I don't think anyone went to 40. And that's why next time we'll just compress the schedule.
Yeah, 30, yeah. And what about the fact that we only had one citizen? Would that make a difference?
I do. I don't. I wouldn't care when they had two, but I thought the one citizen meant was fine.
Yeah, I didn't see a problem with it. So if it happens again, then that's probably.
I think more important is they have the two police officers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think three. I'm trying to think. I thought the sergeant from Paul's was that he normally has four. I can't remember. I could be wrong, but yeah, I believe in the past we've always had three, so it's fine as a fallback. But four would definitely be preferred. And that's just my opinion.
I have a. I'd like to get some feedback on the scoring without talking about any specific, of course. But apparently, we had a number who passed, and then some who didn't. But Steve, you were saying that the scoring kind of went about the way you would have done it yourself,
I guess,
because you've looked at the scores and they were pretty consistent across the panelists. Is that the sense?
Yeah, the people that made it.
Yeah.
The ones that didn't,
there wasn't any surprise where
I would have selected the same people that the panel did.
Yeah, the most I would say with the people who did not pass, there was a 20-point gap, but that's the most.
Okay, so those who are not passing are not borderline. They're getting a lot of fives and fours and threes and twos. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Except the two that failed came in at 69.45.
Yeah, should I go ahead? We can probably.
We got up to 69.5.
Do we need to go into executive session?
No, I don't think so, because we're not talking about individual
members. Are there names on those?
No.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Two would have made it. It was just a hair of more on the end.
Oh, I see.
But my understanding is that even after those scorings were tallied, the panel as a whole was told that those two didn't make it by a hair.
Right.
And nobody on the panel said, "Oh my God, that wasn't my intent." In fact, they were comfortable with that result.
No,
well, but maybe it was too close.
We didn't ask for a report.
But nobody offered either. Nobody asked. Mm-hmm.
Nobody looked shocked or upset.
One thing that we talked about last time going into this was that my kind of opinion was that if the cutoff is 70%, then everyone should know. I can't remember when I did the math. You know that you needed to get as many sevens as you got sixes or something like that. And it did the graders know that, so that you could have someone, Steve, who you thought, "Wow, I think this guy's a good guy, and I'm going to give him all these numbers." And then at the end of the day, oh, that's below the threshold.
Yeah, I'm not sure they knew that. The way it turned out, it didn't really make any difference. We could have ended up having two more.
Well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like that if there's error in here, it's that we almost passed applicants who probably most would have agreed shouldn't have been passed.
Mm-hmm.
So they were this close to the line, and maybe there should have been a greater, they should have been scored lower.
Right. I don't mean that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either that or we would move the threshold up.
We talked about it a little bit after I was inputting the scores, and this was, I input all the scores after we did the last entry, so we hadn't done the lateral yet, you know, keeping them separate. And I said, you know, should I have said to you, okay, there's 9 questions and you can get 8 points per question, so that's a total of 72, so a 70% of 72 is this much, and both the police officers are like, no, you know, you shouldn't have to, that's not appropriate, or, you know, basically indicating that that's not necessary, that they scored, and because I did think about that, because obviously I thought, oh, you know, look at that, so close, because it's not out of 100, you know, so you wouldn't think, oh, if I give off sevens, then I know that that's going to pass. It's not, the math isn't right there.
Right.
So, they did not seem to have an issue with that. But the rounding, I was going to say the rounding up, that comes into the final score. So after you weight the oral and weight the written, then it comes up, and if it's, you know, 76.52, then that becomes a 77. But that doesn't happen until the very last step. So that rounding,
that wouldn't have happened.
Right.
With the oral report.
Right. So it's still that. At least the rules don't say that. The only other thing that I think this brings up is that whether or not we want to look at changing the scoring. So if we know we're going to interview 7 people, and we want names on our list, then the commission can say, you know, that the top 6 or top 5 or something will. You know, so instead
of in other
saying
words, we don't have to have a fixed numerical
right.
cutoff. We could have a cutoff based on our need.
Right, and I think that's kind of where Steve DiGiulio was going in that training. So we can get further clarification on that if we want to consider that. But if we're only interviewing a small group of people, you know, 70% seems like a reasonable passing score to me. But if we do really want to get names, then that might be something to consider. However, you know, if somebody gets a score lower than 70 on the oral, is that really somebody that we want to?
Well, it sounds like no.
Yeah, exactly.
But the fact that it worked out this time doesn't alleviate the question that William is bringing up, which is, in the world that we all grew up in grade school, we all knew what it meant to get a C.
Right.
Okay? But in this setting, it's more artificial.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want people grading fives for solid candidates because they're thinking that means average, when in fact that's going to result in them being rejected.
Right.
But I do feel that, I don't know whether you need to do a numerical breakdown, but I do feel like our panelists need to understand that 70% is passing.
I told them that.
And that 70%, when you have an 8-point scale, mm-hmm. translates into 6.3 or something. And just so that they have a range of the universe in their head when they're writing those numbers down.
Yeah, and I didn't take the math that far, and I could have done that this time.
And it sounded like the officer said their opinion was not. And it kind of worked out. And it's worked out fast.
And if I was scoring, it would be easy for me to say, okay, it's 100 points. I've got to make sure that they have at least 7 points each month. And maybe that's where we get in trouble. They'd rather have 100 points.
Or just have it 1 to 10 rather than 1 to 8 or whatever. Now, at least it's a little more intuitive.
And we had talked about that prior scale, that 10 was too fine a scale, and I think Rich Mancuso and Commander were talking about that it's hard to differentiate along that scale a lot of times, even though mathematically it works out, and it's a little bit more instinctive to pick that that out. I think it was an organic process that the panelists were looking at that and scoring, and whether or not they realized that it was the 70% that we were looking for, I think comparatively they were making an objective rating on each of those candidates.
It's objective in comparison to the whole day of scores, and I totally get that. But I think you do want to make sure that someone's thinking, okay, I want to ding this guy a little bit because he wasn't as good as the last guy, but I sure as hell don't want to kick him out. Here's one suggestion. We have our scoring sheet. Maybe we simply we do it graphically by drawing a bold line on every one of the scoring continuums. There's just a line that we indicate the pass line. Now that doesn't mean they won't have some below and some above, but it lets everybody know what C means, okay, or B plus, or whatever the current equivalent in grade inflation is.
Right.
Is that a concept? I mean,
I think that's reasonable, but I would say I also agree with what Steve is saying, is that I think I talked to Bruce, I don't want C officers, I want A officers, and that's who I want to see.
We'll call the line the B line.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can call it anything we want. That's the point, you know.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, I don't think having that artificial 70%, I think that's something that we would like to keep in. That's not
okay. Well,
something I'd like to eliminate.
You know, we can work this some more. But
yeah.
But no, I think the visual line is fine. Is there any were veteran preference points added to those percentages? Were there any issues that those may have been adjusted by those?
No, the veteran preference don't get added into the very last step. So if you don't pass part of the two first components, then those don't really come into play. So I'll just pass these out.
Yeah, since this doesn't have any names on it, we don't need to go into executive session.
That's right. Others? I'll start with that, okay. Okay, so this is the first time I've had to do sort of, obviously, another one where we're merging things together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I did it right. I changed the title. Instead of saying eligible register, I changed it to say certification, because what you're doing here is you're certifying that this is a new ranking. And so the next thing I'll hand out is this big eligibility list that I'll keep updating. And what I do is I still have the people who are disqualified and the people who we hired. So this will always be changing, but I want this to be sort of like a snapshot in time of here's what happened after the panel, after the oral boards that we just held.
So we certify officer to be placed on the eligibility list.
Right, exactly. And I find it very interesting that the rank totals are two numbers. Two people have 81 and two people have 77. So there's nothing in the rules about who goes first. I just went with the weighted total. You can see there that, you know, they are rounded, so the 81.45 is higher than the 80.63, and then the 77.46 is only very slightly higher than the 77.3, so is that all right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure. Now, okay, remind me, what's the status of these two people from the March 30th?
Mm-hmm, they're still there.
But are those folks that
we haven't done anything with them.
Okay.
Except I just sort of let them know that they're
so those were
on the
they
list
were still on the list after we picked the top
after
three before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. So just a reminder how this I'll pass this out next. This is the master list that, like I said, I just keep updating. And I can go through again about how we do the, how the math works. So I obviously, I'm assuming that you're going to certify these names today, which is why I put in today's date. And then the date that expires from the list will be a year from today. So if that changes and we don't certify them today, then I'll change that. Rank order, ID number, I just go to random.org, you know, and pick these random numbers. The oral board date, and then the panel scores. So you can see that there was not a fourth panelist for those two, so I just put NA, and that did not figure into the calculation. So then I just do an average of the scores, and then the oral score is that average divided by 0.72, because there were 72 possible points. Then the oral weighted is the oral score times 40%, because, I mean 60%, because the oral score is 60% of the total. Then I take the written score from the public safety testing written test, multiply that by 40% to get the weighted written, and then I add the oral weighted and written weighted together to get the weighted total. And then veterans' preference, that can either be 5% or 10%, and then we round to a whole number for the rank total. So then the italicized items there, you can see the three people who did not pass. And one of them had veterans preference, which I, you know, I just carried the calculation on. I don't know if I even need to do that really, because if they don't pass the oral, then the rest of that doesn't really matter, but I just showed that. And then the two below are people that were hired.
March 28th, oral scores were out of 72 points as well?
No, they were out of 90. So that will be interesting as we go on if we change the point totals. Like, I'm going to have a lot of different calculations on it, but try to keep it straight.
Did we do the little writing exercise beforehand as well?
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's not scored.
Right. Remembered that something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're at a point where our action item at this point is to certify these.
The names. Mm-hmm.
The entry level certification list.
Right.
Okay. And that in effect we're certifying a new version of the list as of today, which includes some old, some new.
Right.
And remind me, and I've been out of the picture here, when we get to the point of, is that then passed along to the department?
Yes, so the top three.
Top three
mm-hmm.
are. Okay, so in this case, it would be the top four, I suppose.
We only have one vacancy, so we have, it's the rule of three, it's called, and so that means that the chief gets three names. Now,
but the rules also currently say that if there's some tying scores, then you go more than three to the extent that you get the top three scores.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yes.
That's the interpretation. No, I think we should forward all four scores.
Okay.
All four candidates.
Because otherwise I don't know how to differentiate between, I mean, I suppose you, it's only the rounding which causes to be the same score.
Right.
I don't know if there's a protocol on that.
I don't, there isn't, you know, if we want to make a rule and then at some point we could do that, but right now there's nothing.
Well, given the sensitivity of the machine, I would seem silly to not send all four.
Yeah, no, I agree.
The margin of error.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've got a question. So, the two that are on the entry-level police officer certification sheet, the two that were interviewed or took the orals in March,
mm-hmm.
we've never been asked to certify.
You have.
No, they've been certified already.
Yes, so they're already certified.
Okay, that's what I kind of thought.
So they were certified.
Why are we certifying them again?
Well, what I think we're doing here is, and this is based on some guidance from public safety testing, from their little user's guide.
Okay.
They have sample lists in here and show you, like, here's what happens when you have new people and here's how you add them in and get them recertified. So what I'm doing here is,
okay.
What you're basically updating you're updating your list, so you're certifying the names, like you said. But I feel like I wanted to make this be a snapshot in time, because if I just gave you the two, then I would show you that they were ranked 1 and 3, and then somebody later on might say, well, what about 2 and 4? You know, why are you?
Well, let me ask this. Another approach would be to we do some orals, we get the results.
Yep.
We look at this, who's passed, and on July we have 2, and we certify them, and they get added to the eligibility list, and then and put in the right ranking.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, I thought that's what we're certifying the addition of some new.
That's right.
Who passed to add to the eligibility list.
That's right.
And then we look at the eligibility list and say, okay, what are the rankings now?
Mm-hmm.
We take the top 3 or whatever. But
so take that rank column off of here and just have the scoring. Is that what you're saying? Because
that's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah,
logically, it just seems like that's what you. What we're doing is we're interviewing, we're grading, and then we're through the certification process, we're adding them to the eligible roster.
I don't know if we're circling around semantics, but
overthinking maybe.
To me, this is a list of certified officers. The fact that someone's on this list and he was on the list before doesn't mean he's got 2 certifications. It's not like he's gathering.
No, but we're doing it again.
But my feeling is that this is a stamp of approval as to what is the current list of certified applicants. So I'm comfortable with that, but I'll go with the majority.
No, you can kind of merge these two if you want. So we're certifying the most recent eligible candidates who are going on the list. So
I hear what you're saying. I actually kind of went around with this, trying to figure out the best way to do it.
I'm not saying there's a right way or wrong.
No, I hear you. But I just feel it is a little weird for me to put on this date certified column. I'm assuming that you're going to certify it today and then you're going to sign below. I agree. I think it's a little awkward. So maybe I could work with it and.
Because I think you do need the multiple dates, because the candidates from, they have an expiration date based on that oral board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crucial.
That's absolutely.
So,
but if I hear what William's saying, so if I just change this to say, completion of the oral interview held July 10th, take that rank column out, take that date certified out, and only have the people who just tested, then you're certifying, those people took the test, or those people were interviewed, that these are their scores, and we're certifying them, and then I bump them into this eligibility list, and that's where the rank shows. And so I would give you this at the same time. I mean, the whole point is that you should see where people end up.
Sure, and then what does our list look like now that we've passed these folks on?
So I could do it either way.
These folks on.
I have no strong feelings.
I think it is appropriate to leave a rank order in there, because when this list gets over to the department and background and investigations begin, they would start at the top of the list. But we're going to start the interview process with the number 1 candidate. And then from there, if that one doesn't pass for whatever reasons in the background, then we go to number 2, then number 3.
Yeah, and there, but that's, we do need to send over the top
schools.
Right, and we do that off the eligible list.
Mm-hmm.
This is, the eligible list exists and continues to exist and exists.
Right.
And after orals, every time we adopt and pass and approve and certify folks who pass to add to the list.
Mm-hmm.
And on the list, you find your ranking, and then from the eligible list, this exists and continues to exist.
Yeah, but this is not what we're going to send over to the department, because this is a historical document. It's going to have more information than they want.
Exactly.
And so.
No. That you don't have to send this over to the department. You don't have to send this over to the department. You can send to the department the
files
with the 3 top off the eligible list.
I could very easily, just make a couple phone calls and just find out a little more about how other agencies do it. It must be a easier way.
Now, for today and for the time being, we want to get these things done, and I think we can do it this way. Mm-hmm. This is fine. But I'm just, you know, I guess
I'm not really getting the problem. It seems to me that what we're saying here is we are recertifying that this is the list of eligible people, and here's their rank.
There's no problem with that.
I'm not sure I'm giving a badge to any one officer.
No, you're not. It's just
I'm not giving badges.
The whole point is, like, the names expire, the list doesn't expire. So you're thinking it's not really the list, it's the names that we want to focus on. So I see both. I mean, I understand the conundrum because I was trying to figure out earlier. So why don't I, for the next time, I can present, you know, more information on it.
I defer to the group.
But for now,
the case center had organized it. Go ahead.
My thing is, I just want to make it. I want to create historical data so that 5 years from now, somebody doesn't go, what?
Yeah, I mean, if you look back in the documents of the commission, every 6 months there's a different set of rules, a different set of procedures and a different set of forms, and there's big gaps. And I want us to have. This is the beginning of a consistent institutional memory and a set of procedures, which is why I keep talking about some long-range policy manual, which I know you've got 100 things you're trying to do. But I don't want any of the wisdom that we're fighting to gather here to be lost because somebody loses a file and no one ever remembers it again. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
if we figure it out, it takes us a little longer, but we figure out how to do it right now, and then we continue to do it that way time and time again.
Yeah. All right, well.
So I'll come back.
Why don't you think about the issue that Williams brought up and figure out what the most usable, logical format may be.
Okay.
And you know, again, once we get that done, then we're going to lock those things down.
Mm-hmm. But are we okay with this for today?
Yes.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned.
Do we need a motion to forward all four names to the chief, do you think?
I think we should do a motion, whether it's absolutely necessary or not. I think
do a motion to move.
Seconded.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor to forward current four ranked names to the chief. We're not violating the rule of threes in that motion because two of the four each have similar scores, so it takes four to get to the top three ranked scores.
Right.
Any comments or questions or discussion about the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We'll give you guys some more work to do,
right.
Commander Schultz.
So would you like to sign and then pass it around then? Great.
And there's a lateral one.
There is, yep. Yep. I feel like such a tree killer this week. I make, you know, copies of all the applications and then got those back from everybody. Then
don't worry about it. Just compare yourself to the Pentagon. You're doing fine.
But it definitely was helpful to have the application.
That's a short list.
I meant to say that when we were talking about the interviews, that having the applications for the panelists was very helpful. Okay. So I won't go through this one again. It's the same process. For some reason, the oral raw average bumped out to four decimals. I don't know why, but I can change that. Thank you.
Okay, well, I don't know if anybody has any further discussions about this. Obviously, all the same categories apply. This is just applies to the lateral candidate. Everything looks understandable, I believe. Questions or comments about the lateral certification or the eligible list?
At second to the last column says rank total. Is that what the other one says?
Yes. Okay. And I got that's again from this example.
Okay. I have a question, and maybe this is for you, Commander Schultz. Last time we sent you candidates, both lateral and entry, and you were trying to fill three positions at that time,
mm-hmm.
and all three of those have been filled.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're only trying to fill one position.
Mm-hmm.
Will the background checking activity, and maybe this is a decision for the chief or the interim director, will the background checking activity again focus on numerous candidates at once, or will it? How do you handle the fact that we have one position now, but we have one lateral and four entries, or do you check them all at once, sign them all out at once?
When to do a background is a lot of time,
yes,
and a lot of energy. So what will happen is the chief or acting chief will take a look at these folks, may call them in for a second interview, chief's interview,
right,
and then make a decision on who he wants to further look at, and then assign a background investigator to proceed with a background. So,
and he might choose to just pursue one, or he might choose to pursue,
yes,
five.
Yes.
And is there and maybe this is a budgetary question, does the department have the authority to hire two people if there's only one position right now, knowing that we have a shifting future coming up?
No, that's a project that we'd like to work on, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it seems to me a big topic of being ahead of the vacancies, not constantly playing catch-up.
That is a concern, but that's something that needs to be addressed by...
Well, that has to be discussed by the council before the department has the authority to,
correct,
take that policy step.
Correct.
It seems to me, and this is just gratuitous advice, is a big way to make that step credible and persuasive is to examine whether, in fact, you actually save money by doing it because you're hiring, rather than going through all the periods of time where you have overtime and overworked officers. And if the argument can be made to the council that in fact it doesn't cost money, or it only costs a little bit of money, but you end up with a higher quality uniform performance from the officers as a whole, someone ought to put together that argument.
That argument is a part of our strategic plan for the next 5 years, so we are working on that.
Cool. Okay, great.
Something that we're diving into.
And I think at the next meeting, it would be useful. I talked to Chief Dickerson about this a little bit, and the commander also, having that conversation about the thoughts about the budget and looking for feedback from the commission, and also maybe asking the finance director to come and talk a little bit about the budget process, just a little education. I think that would be useful.
I think it would be. I think, you know, again, our role is a little bit fuzzy on the edges, but I think we're interested in the quality of staffing as a whole. That's our overall mission, and I'd love to be able to learn more about it, and maybe we can affect it for the good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other general comments? Oh, I think we need a motion.
Yeah, do we need motions on each of these? We didn't have a motion on the previous one, but to start to approve
We had a motion a minute ago. What was
we had
that
a motion
one?
To forward all four names to the chief, but is that the same thing as approving the names?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So
we'll do the simple. Maybe
let's make it more explicit that the purpose of the motion is to both approve the scores that have been brought forward as well as forward the names.
Okay.
And I think we ought to make it a habit of doing
the. I think the technical term is certify.
Certify
this applicant.
Make a motion.
I move that we certify this lateral police officer applicant and forward his or her name to the department, or add them to the eligible list.
And then just comment, question or concern regarding not being able to forward three candidates' names, and what the rules say about being able to only forward one, because that's all we have.
Mm-hmm. I believe, well, at least from the training I went to, I'm not sure about our rules, but the training said that the chief has the right to say, give me a new list. If we give the chief less than three names and he's not happy with them, then he can say, no, I want a new list. So that's basically, I don't think that person would go away, but I think that we would be obligated then to provide him with two more.
We actually went through this conversation, I think, on the first time around, because we again had a single lateral
mm-hmm.
candidate at that time. And at least what I think the city attorney and what was confirmed by DiGiulio is that, you know, that as part of the background check, or even before that, as part of the chief's interview, they can decide this candidate, for valid, you know, material reasons, doesn't fit our criteria. We're not going to move forward on this candidate, and then they can't force us to remove somebody from the list who's met our criteria, mm-hmm. but they can then say, send me more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Any further questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, we've moved another one forward.
Great.
Okay. I guess before we leave this question, we ought to ask, do we schedule another one, or do we set a target date down in the future to say, let's not think about it for 90 days to give Kate a rest?
I think you should. I mean, I want to see at least 7 or 8 names on the list. That's
yeah, I mean, one attitude is we shouldn't be too worried about what's going on in the department, because we ought to have a backlog at all times to deal with. If 5 people leave tomorrow, our job is to have people, candidates lined up.
Lined up, right.
So, you know, Kate, maybe you could, for next agenda, I don't think we're under the gun so much that we need to kill ourselves to jam another one in, but if it takes 90 days to do this, maybe the next one is 120 days out or something. You know, whatever you think, now that you've got the sequence pretty clearly down.
I would say October at the latest would be my suggestion. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean,
or even sooner than I thought.
Yeah, or yeah, exactly. I think so. I mean, you know.
You want to keep the pressure on.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody have any comments about that?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that's reasonable. I would also hope that we can include in that process the job analysis, and then feeding that back in if we need to further revamp questions in the format based on the analysis, and then working with Rich Mancuso if we need to change it even further. I think this worked great, and but always looking for continued improvement.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and the attitude we've taken so far is we're not slowing down on the orals process, but as soon as that other material is prime time ready to be slid in, then we'll try to merge them
before those work out well.
Mm-hmm.
When are we going to have an August meeting? We're going to
I put that on the agenda because I'm not going to be here, and I think, Bruce, are you not going to be here?
Yeah, I'm gone from the 10th through the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we may have one. We'll have to reschedule.
Right,
we'll
so it would have to be a
different
special
time.
Meeting. Mm-hmm.
So, if we don't, then we're talking about a meeting when would the next meeting be, September.
Right.
So, whether we reschedule for August or September, it's at that meeting when we should have on the agenda deciding and scheduling. Maybe the next world? Is that the thought?
I think so. I think we should.
I mean, we're not going to pick a date today.
No.
So, but that's because we're comfortable knowing that at our next meeting we have sufficient time to get it rolling and pick a date, right?
Well,
I mean, we could pick the date today.
Yeah, if everybody's ready, there's no reason why we can't. Okay, so back up a second. We don't see the need for a special meeting at the end of this month, is what you're saying.
July, no.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Then I would suggest that our next meeting should be before the 10th.
So, okay, in that case, then it would have to be this month. I'm going to be gone from...
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, I'm going to be gone from the 3rd, and I'll be back on the 13th. So it could be August 1st or 2nd.
I guess my feeling is not
How
so...
How long are you gone, Bruce?
August? Just a week.
Through the 17th?
10th through the 17th.
So maybe we need it after the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that we've got a number of things we're trying to push forward, not the job classification, the rules amendment. Basically what we're saying is we won't really reconvene and make any progress on those things until the 3rd week.
Mm-hmm. We could either do
August.
Sort of like July 26th or 27th and then not meet again until September 14th, but take sort of all of August, because we're going to be working on the job analysis and, there probably won't be anything to bring to the commission for a while. We could either do end of July and then not again until September, or end of August and then 2 or 3 weeks later meet again. So there'll be gaps at some point.
Yeah, I prefer that. Which one?
The 3rd week of August.
And then 2 weeks later.
You'll be back. Kate will be back.
Mm-hmm.
About August 24th.
Fine.
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
and then... And then we'll be going into September, and we can meet again in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I can't think.
The 24th? How about the 31st? The 31st, the following Friday? That's going into the Memorial Day weekend.
Does it have to be a Friday? I mean, could you do a different day that week? The week of the 24th, or not really?
It would be cool.
Okay.
Could we make it the week before the August 10th meeting?
August 3rd, I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
What about the second?
You're leaving the second.
Or the first.
Oh, yeah, we could do the first or second. Mm-hmm.
I kind of, I mean, I don't want to blemish people's summaries, but I kind of feel like if we want to keep these things moving forward, to disappear for 5 weeks doesn't make sense. I'd rather do August 1st and 2nd and then have the next meeting after that be in early September.
I can't make the 1st or 2nd.
Okay.
But we just need a quorum. It doesn't need to be all.
Yeah, I mean, again, not everybody can make every meeting. That's life. William, what do you think about the 1st and Steve, 1st and 2nd?
Those are both good with me. Didn't you mention July 24th?
27th, uh-huh.
So, and that's a possibility, too.
Monday the 27th, 28th, any of that?
Friday the 20th, July 27th, moving backwards.
Oh.
10 days is the 23rd. So you're talking about having a meeting in...
in 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks, yeah. I mean,
I don't think
we did that for quite some time, but, you know, if
August is...
I don't think that's necessary. All right.
No, we don't need to be in 10 days.
All right. Well, I'll defer to the wishes of the crowd. But
Bruce has been on vacation, and now
yeah.
I'm all excited. Yeah,
every week.
I could potentially do August, definitely not August 1st, but I could do August 2nd, or then if you want to do it the day before you leave.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like fun.
Or I'm fine with pushing it till the end of the month, like the 27th and 28th, that Monday or Tuesday.
I'm just trying to figure out, I'm trying to plan ahead and see what would we...
What's
what are we
going
to talk
agenda?
About next time? I mean, I'll get back to you about the lateral testing. We're going to sort of talk about a progress report on the job analysis.
So we may well not even have data back on that analysis.
The rules.
The question of whether we want to keep pushing forward on the rules or not, again, there's nobody looking down our backs mm-hmm. to get that done, but, you know, it's something we need to do.
Yeah.
I don't quite know what
I think costs. The next agenda should have rules, actual, perhaps... action on.
And we're going to discuss some of that today, and then we can go home with some action items, too.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to have a very preliminary conversation here in 20 minutes. But.
So what about the week of August 20th? Any of those days? It doesn't have to be the Friday.
Week of August 20th? So I'm available any of those days.
Yep.
Any of those days.
But you're gone. Are
you oh, that's right.
No problem.
Okay.
Well, let's do, you know.
How about Monday the 27th?
Yeah, and then you just have the following Friday, then there's another meeting 10 days later.
Oh, in September the 14th.
Let's just pick the 21st.
Oh, it is the 14th, never mind.
Yeah, it's the 14th.
What did you say, Bruce, the 21st?
Did you guys just come up with something?
Well, what about the 27th?
Monday the 27th?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds fine with me.
So that's like, how many weeks away? That's fine. I mean, there'll be a lot going on behind the scenes. So,
yes,
and that'll give me a little time to.
6 weeks.
Yeah, that would be fine. I'll have everything done by then. Okay.
Five and a half weeks.
That's 4 o'clock.
Sure.
Oh no, 6 and a half.
Kate, I don't want to add to your burden, but could you poll other commissions and see whether they routinely meet on a monthly basis or whether they go to quarterly?
Hey, this is Bainbridge Island. We make everything difficult here, okay?
And I understood from the get-go, coming on board and moving at every two-week pace for a good long while.
Yeah.
But that's not how I want to do business going forward after being here.
All right, we're taking 6 and a half weeks off, so everybody enjoy that. Our next meeting is Monday the 27th.
Monday, August 27th.
Monday, August 27th at 4 o'clock.
Right. Do we need to make a motion to cancel the regular meeting? That's what item 9 is on the agenda here.
Well, let's do so, because it doesn't hurt to do it.
And then schedule a special meeting on August 27th.
I move that we cancel the August 10th regular meeting and create a special meeting on Monday, August 27th at 4 p.m.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that takes care of all that. Rules amendments are the only things left in the agenda. Kate, you made copies?
I did.
Okay.
Color copies, even.
This, just introduction, you all got this just a little while ago, so I don't think we expected, I didn't expect anybody to have done any big deal substantive review. I just want to give you the genesis of this. This is entirely my product.
Let me just, Bruce.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is this different from what you sent out?
No.
No. Same thing.
You did that. months ago.
Yeah.
I did it months ago.
You did it months ago.
You got it. You got it a month or two ago.
Will got it a month ago.
You volunteered to be
part of it. Yes.
But Steve, Linda, and Rob have not seen it since Tuesday or Wednesday of this week.
The other day. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the point was we were kind of juggling it among ourselves. So literally a month and a half ago, Will, Kate, William, and I, or I gave this to Will, Kate, and William, and this is the exact same form. And what I want to say as a precursor is that basically as we went through the first tumultuous 6 months of this commission, I was just making notes of things that seemed to be inconsistent between what was in the rules as we got them and either was in the new ordinances or was in the new procedures we were coming up with or just seemed ultimately seemed illogical. And I just went through these things and made it and rewrote them in the way that I saw fit. There's absolutely no precedental value or reason for you to accept one word of my changes. It's just a starting place.
Okay.
I know Will has looked through them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of things that he thinks are not right. He thinks that I've overstepped some bounds, I suspect. But we haven't had a comprehensive conversation. No. Kate, Will, William, or I have not had a comprehensive conversation about this. So we're throwing this on the table just to get the ball rolling, and I don't really know exactly how we want to approach this, and I'm open to conversations about substantive issues or about procedural approaches.
Let me make an opening statement.
Go away.
So I'll just say that Bruce did a really good job of taking after this thing and has added quite a bit of good work to it. And he, at least a month and a half ago, sent this out to me and to Will, and I've looked at it a couple times, most recently today, going to Seattle and coming back from Seattle. I have some issues. I haven't talked to Will about it, but they may be similar to what Will's reaction might be, particularly with hiring or trying to hire outside counsel or something like that.
Yeah, that's where I get a little controversial.
Yeah, well, that's okay. But what I want to do, I made a commitment to participate with Bruce and Kate and Will in a kind of subcommittee and devote some real time and effort to assisting Bruce, us all, in adopting some appropriate amendments. And I think what I would like to say is that I'm going to be committed to Bruce between now and our next meeting, working more closely with you.
Yes.
And we'll hear what everyone has to say, but in you know trying to wrap this up and really getting some language that we can all agree to in terms of tweaks to these rules. But that will require actually sitting down publicly and working through some of these questions.
One thing I can say to sort of introduce this is to remind you or to explain to you guys who are new to this is some of the themes or some of the touch points. One was to first simply just take a look at the new Bainbridge City Code ordinances, which were passed last year, and you know, as simple as five dog commissioners as opposed to three commissioners. Some of that stuff is just mechanical. Okay. Two was to go through this whole thing with an eye towards the Seattle Police Guild case. And the heart, as I read the Seattle Police Guild case, is that it's not appropriate for the commission to delegate its authority to the secretary. The secretary is here to act as our guide, but and also our administrative staff person, but not to execute any of the things that we have discretion over. And I felt that the rules, and so there's about 50 places in the rules here, and Kate was, I told Kate right up front this is the way I approach it, she absolutely was supportive, mm-hmm. Did not feel like I was treading on your territory at all. I went here and just simply sprinkled through here where I feel the secretary's discretion to act has to be subject to the commission's approval up front. Okay, that's another theme that you'll see throughout. A third thing is just simply looking for logical consistencies and inconsistencies. There were just certain places where I just think it wasn't that well drafted, so I took a stab at fixing it. A fourth thing was our changes to the disqualifiers. There was a bunch of stuff in here that sort of hinged off of historical disqualifiers. That was a grab bag of things. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to bring it consistent with our new decisions in that regard. And then finally, I tried to come up with some language that addressed what has been an obvious community concern about the issue of independence of the secretary as an employee of the city and the independence of the city attorney, who is also our attorney. that's probably where I'm treading on the most controversial stuff. What I told, you know, there's a lot of public people in the public who have said to me, oh, we should revisit that issue, which was so controversial back in 2011. And my answer to them has been, as a commission, we are studying it and we're thinking about it because, speaking for myself only, I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other, but I wasn't about to recommend that we change courses until we really have some experience under our belt. And one of the things I think that we as a commission can do is we can give the community some of that comfort of independence and confidentiality and due process that they're looking for, even within the current structure of city employees serving this commission, by embedding some of those protections in the rules itself. So, for example, on the issue of access to files, I put in some language suggesting that there be a real strict express acknowledgement of the confidentiality of those files and that the access is only available to the secretary and to the commissioners. And even though that file is sitting in the city hall, it's under lock and key, and no other city employees have a right to see that file. And I don't think any of that's going to be shocking to anybody in the city. Mm-hmm. So the point is, can we meet some of the community's concerns about both confidentiality and due process and independence by beefing up the rules and the protections that they afford? So there was, you know, half a dozen things going through my mind as I was kind of working on this, and maybe that's a template for us to look at it as a group. I don't know.
I would say I concur with everything you said, and I think we can also additionally add the notion of transparency. It's just like the city council does when they review or they change some of their rules or obligations. We post online and make for available comments.
Oh.
They can see the marked up list, and if folks want to come in and take issue with 7.5 or 7.56, whatever it might be, they have that opportunity to not just see the final draft, but look and be part of that process as it goes forward and voice any of those questions and concerns and,
okay,
and be part of that process.
And this draft now, by virtue of being passed out of this meeting, is now public record, and we welcome anybody, John, anybody else who wants to comment on the rules are welcome to. My suggestion in terms of a procedure for us is that we do actually, beyond just inviting people to participate in our meetings, which we always do, I think we should plan to have a public comment period. I think we should do our work first with Kate and Will, come up with a red line draft that expresses our tentative consensus, and then ask the public, I mean, and they're welcome to participate earlier as well, but have a formal comment period. Does everybody feel good with that?
Right, yeah, no, I agree to just that. Do you think that can be ready by August, or is that September? We're just wondering timeline on when we need to be able to, we come back in August with those notions and all those inputs from a commission level, and then being able to push out a marked up red line version for the month of August, and then folks can come back in September with their public comments, and then we publish it and approve a final one in October then?
I think that's a reasonable timeline. I mean, what did we say our next meeting was?
August 27th.
27th. So we've got a good month in that, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot there for us.
Oh, there is a lot.
I think the commission is
going to
want to discuss
it. It's kind of front-loaded. What Bruce has done and most of the changes is pretty front-loaded. When you're going through this thing,
yeah,
you hit the heavy changes early, and it's you know, as you spend more time with it, it's not quite,
yeah,
it's not quite as much as it kind of appears.
Controversial issues here.
Yeah,
there's some weighty stuff in there.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think we need to keep this we need to together come up with a recommendation to the community and then put that out for public comment, not now, but when we're all together.
Formally.
And say this is the commission's proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Not Bruce's at this point.
No,
Bruce's
absolutely.
And I think that's going to take a little time on our part.
I agree.
The timeline of August, I think, is pushing it too much.
Well, we can have it on the agenda in August.
Yeah.
And what I would like to do, as I earlier said, is work with Bruce to see if we can't work out some language that we can put, kind of like this, but maybe refine a little more, on the table for
August. Let me suggest this. Without setting a definite timetable, let's see what we get to by the meeting in August, and that will give us a sense as to how quickly we can roll this out. And this is not like the filling eligible positions. This can take longer if it needs to take longer. But let me say, this is just stuff that I thought of. As he noted, it gets a little, I didn't do as many changes in the back because, frankly, I haven't done any real legal research on the issue of our role as judicial, in an adjudicatory role. And maybe there's stuff in there that's not right. Maybe there's stuff that's not that important. I don't know. So I welcome anybody who wants to take more initiative to get into some of those other parts or any of it. So let me suggest this. Maybe the four of us, William, me, Will, and Kate, can set a meeting sometime before we all disappear on further vacationing to kind of go through and start to identify things that we see. If the other commissioners can commit to making their own review, maybe we can gather comments in some sort of joint way in time for the August meeting. That's just among us. Does that seem feasible?
I think so. Six weeks for the commissioners to review the material as it stands and then being able to openly discuss it on the 27th.
Yes. And it's very possible one of the commission comments may be, you know, I think this whole section 17 is screwed up, but I don't know how to change it. I mean, we're not saying that everybody has to have detailed language. I tried to do that, but
I've done their homework. And
yeah.
But I think you make a good point, though, because I actually have read very little of the second half. And, you know, I just don't see it really coming up. I mean,
well, it's not a priority.
No.
Right?
So I think you could almost skip a lot of, you know, the stuff there.
You probably shouldn't get distracted by it.
Yeah.
Because there are some significant and somewhat controversial, weighty issues that we're trying to address.
Right.
With potential conflicts of interest and what to do with the
right.
potential adding a secretary pro tem and these kinds of things, which are important and I support. So let's try and nail those as well as the more technical amendments to conform with the latest code provision.
Mm-hmm.
And take that bite and then go from there afterwards if we really need to revisit the hearing.
You know, Bruce, you did a good job. A lot of time. I just don't know how long it would take for us to.
Yeah, no, it took a long time. Over several weeks of just kind of hitting it a little bit here and there. I mean, you know.
And I think DiGiulio had a comment about what specifically needs to be spelled out in the rules versus what is really in a procedure,
right.
policy procedure,
mm-hmm.
and that rides outside of the
yes.
rules.
Yes, and so,
so
that
we
would
take a notion of that, but maybe able to remove some of those specific
yes.
provisions out of this and move to that second document.
Yeah.
But the irony of that distinction, typically you have those distinctions because certain things are easier to change than others. In other words, there are things that take a higher majority or you have to get to a higher authority. Well, these rules are amendable by us right now.
Anytime.
We could abolish them in a moment
mm-hmm.
right now, the four of us. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, if we have procedures, we can change those. So it's a little bit cosmetic, but that doesn't mean it's not important. You still may want to create hierarchies of written principles. But okay, so I guess what I'm saying is that we're all going to commit to having this be an item on the agenda of the next meeting, and that we're all going to try to. I mean, in fact, what I'd like to suggest is that if people have comments or reactions or criticisms or changes, that we try to get them circulated before the next meeting. And to the extent, as far as we get. And if people run out of gas, they run out of gas. That's fine, too. But I think the important thing is that if we come into the next meeting and we have comments from several different sources, we can use this forum to discuss it.
So for Rob, Steve, and Linda, should they send those comments to me? Because we don't want to get into sort of a back
yeah.
and forth.
Well, we don't want to get into open meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we can't. It's got to be all sent to you. Absolutely
okay.
correct.
Okay.
Right. And, you know, if we get a bunch of stuff from Rob, Steve, and Linda, maybe our little subcommittee will incorporate them to a single draft and
mm-hmm.
say, Rob's comment, you know, this comment. We can harmonize a few
yeah.
things. Maybe we try to integrate them if we get stuff. If we don't, because you guys are still working on it, we get to the meeting, we'll work on whatever we have.
And also, their time will be almost better spent after we're done, after August, you know, when we present our final.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously a review is good, but I mean, you know, you don't want to spend hours going through this and then we've come up with something different.
Yeah, and
which I think is likely, I'm hoping will happen, that is that you and Bruce and I sit down. I have comments. Bruce and I can work right through those
mm-hmm.
and generate. There may be a new version of this within the next 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. What's our schedule like look like? Do we tell them to sit tight for 3 weeks because we're going to have something new?
I think so.
Maybe,
you,
yeah.
You're free to do whatever you want, but I think you can anticipate our generating a new version of this.
So maybe then the question is, when does our subcommittee want to meet?
I've got plenty of time because the commission's not meeting until August 27th.
Okay.
But you have vacation coming up. And going and so
July.
So you're saying in July.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean,
so
if you think so.
Next week. The week after.
Totally. Yeah. All right. So maybe then what we're saying is, look at this as much as you want, but our subcommittee is going to come out with something to you all by the end of July.
Yes.
Okay, well, why don't we label this draft number one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Give me another document.
Yep.
Let's expect draft two by August 1st.
Okay.
And then that would be the one that you could focus on too.
I just think let's all be very mindful of not making any decisions or collusion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Outside of the public forum.
Right. I mean, we as a subcommittee can work up whatever proposal we want. We will send it to you. We're not looking for any responses. You guys will do whatever personal homework you want. Again, I don't recommend that you create any second subcommittees or any further mini work groups because we don't want to in any way violate or even get close to, you know, going around the Open Meetings Act. And we're going to have plenty of public vetting of this, complete with the public comment period.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think anyone's going to feel bothered by that. Okay, does that all make sense?
Yeah.
Any other, where this being a general meeting, you can bring up anything you like. Talk about national politics or your favorite recipes. No comment? Question?
Favorite cartoon character?
I would say it's for the good of the order if Commander Schultz might want to talk about National Night Out.
National Night Out, August 7th, which is the Tuesday night, first Tuesday in August, and it is a opportunity for law enforcement to get out and celebrate the efforts of crime prevention in our community, and it's held in the square just outside City Hall. And this year we're hoping that the Bainbridge Island School District will be there, as well as all the different agencies that are connected with community safety and emergency preparation. And it's a good event. We usually get some free samples of ice cream from a local vendor, and it's just a fantastic event. Free hot dogs, free popcorn, and it's all put on by the officers of the Bainbridge Island School.
Wonderful. Sounds great. Okay, John Green, any questions or comments as a public member?
I am impressed with the quality, particularly on those interviewee application forms. I think I've certainly learned a lot. I know I get a lot of notices, you know, from here to come on different committees and stuff like that, you know. And I've passed up a bunch of them on this, but I'm very impressed with the level of quality. So now when I go out in the public and people talk to me, and lots of people do, that I'll be able to actually communicate to them.
Wonderful.
It's a whole different thing. And things are done the correct way, and things are done diligently, and the process is great. I wish we had the process down at the design review board. I was on that for 6 years, and our scoring technique was horrendous. And we were scoring applicants for major productions like the Gateway and schools, and we didn't have the quality of scoring that you have on here, where you break it down, and a lot of the board members were more than confused, and I think some of the applicants were not done right at the end of the day. But anyway, I'm very impressed.
Great. John, we appreciate you coming.
Yeah. I'll come to the other ones, too, if I can get in on the things I've noted what you do, and I know I get notices,
mm-hmm.
so I'll be able to respond and come on in.
Please,
because I think you need a voice. I know you can't talk outside of these commissions to the general public or, you know, without a quorum. I fully understand all those rules. But to have a voice out there, you know, that people say things, to be able to actually comment back with a level of authenticity and say, hey, guys, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, anyone you talk to, you're telling them welcome to come to our meetings. We say that on the video and the audio every day. And who the hell wants to come to a meeting?
They don't.
But the point is we truly welcome participation.
I know you do, and I know all the committees do, but a lot of people, especially the minority, the vocal minority on the island, tend to, I'm not going, I know exactly what they're going to talk about, and I don't like it right from the start.
It's always easy to dislike something before you know anything about it.
It's easy to say that, and fortunately there's a lot of people on the island that do things like that, and it goes in the wrong direction, and they have to attend some meetings and not read between the lines and assume that they know what's going on, because they don't.
Great. Well, I appreciate your being here. Come back again.
Yeah, bring all your friends.
Any other comments or questions? Then I guess we're adjourned.
Okay.